The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday. I tell you what, we are in another rainy weekend, and it looks like a lot of rain going into the next week. Those guys that are out there harvesting, man, I tell you what, it's exciting to see those combines out there going, taking out the corn and the soybeans and all that other great stuff. We just pray a protection over those men and women out there in the fields and the harvest, that it will be a good harvest. And a safe one as well. And also, too, the people that are just outside have to do things with the working. Just around in our community here in Oskaloosa, I see so much of the construction going on and streets and building and all the stuff that's going on. It's just a lot of things. And it's really cool to see how the improvements, even though it might detract us from having to take a different road or a side road to what we're normally accustomed to doing, but it's just cool to see all the things that are going on in our community as well as different communities as well. But we just want to thank you again for listening today on KBOE 104.9 FM. You might be headed down the highway today. You've tuned us in. I just pray that you enjoy what's being said today. Keep your eyes on the road and be safe as you travel wherever your destination would be sending you. And just want to thank you for listening to us today. And also, too, maybe you're on your way to church. Hey, big shout out. Thanks for letting us be a part of your Sunday. Or maybe this is your Sunday. You're sitting at home today. I'm going to encourage you to open up your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18, because I really believe we have a good study. But before we go in there this morning, again, I just want to remind you that we send out devotionals 6 days a week, both men and women. You can go to our Vital Ministries webpage, vitalministries.org. Check it out. You can get that inspirational nugget for your day. Just some good writing. Each one of the writers just does a beautiful job, both for the men and the women too as well. Also, we are in 5 different locations for Vital Men, Vital Men's teaching. We're actually studying the very stuff that we're teaching on KBOE of what's going on with Elijah and Elisha, looking at what followership means, what it means to be a good leader in the different places that we do for both men and women. I just encourage you, if guys out there, go to our webpage, 5 different locations. If you're in Oskaloosa, we have 2 times that we meet from 6:30 to 7:30 on Tuesday mornings. Just a great time. Smaller group of guys. Usually these guys are, I would say, lean into the younger side because there's so much going on in their evenings. If you're looking for that study for a small group, this one is a good one to be. Again, that's 6:30 to 7:30 a.m. in the mornings at the Vital Ministries building on A Avenue East. And also, too, we have for the men on Tuesday evenings as well from 6:30 to 8, and we meet as well. So that's a bigger group. We have a great time. We have a lot of fun together, but just encourage you in those times as we jump into what it looks like to be a great follower of Christ. But last week in 1 Kings 17, we've been studying the life of Elijah, and we saw him give this proclamation to an evil king of Israel, Ahab. Elijah makes this statement that no rain for the next few years is going to happen. A drought is coming, and it won't rain again until he comes back face to face with that old King Ahab until he says so. When we see this prophet having for a life for the next 3.5 years after he gives about the king and tells him that it was not going to rain, but for 3.5 years he steps into obscurity and goes into a time where allowing the ravens to bring him food at near a brook. And then that is a short period of time before he enters enemy territory. God sends him out. He has a price on his head, and he's living with a widow and her son. And if that wasn't enough, the young lad passes away. He dies, and God uses Elijah to miraculously raise the young boy from the dead and being on top of him 3 times, crying out to the Lord to bring him back to life, and it happens, a miraculous miracle at that time. Now it's time for Elijah return to go back to Israel, to face the King Ahab, and from that comes what I think one of the greatest contests in the Bible. In my mind, is one of the headlines. If you can see the Des Moines Register, they've been getting a lot of publicity lately, haven't they? But what if a headline would say something like this: The Battle of the Gods, or The Greatest Conflict of the Century, or another one, The God Who Answers by Fire. Wouldn't that be amazing if we could see that in a paper in the Des Moines Register, actually claiming out what would actually happen as we look at 1 Kings 18. It's one of the greatest contests, I think, in history. And there's also another great contest I want to share with you about it briefly this morning. It's a showdown that happens on October 1st, 1975 in the boxing world. It's the great Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, the King of Sting, versus Joe Frazier. It was two of the greatest fighters who battled. They didn't do it on American soil, but they were at the Philippines. And the fight began. It looked like Frazier had the edge, putting Ali to the ropes countless times if you watch that battle, that boxing in that boxing arena. But Ali wasn't going to allow this fight to go to the scoreboards. No, this was something different. This fight really truly meant something. It was as if it started that the King of Sting was going to fight for as if his life depended on it. In rounds 13 and 14, he pummeled Frazier with a frenzy. It was Frazier's trainer who called the fight. He told Frazier to sit down, son. It's all over. No one will ever forget what you did here today. It was like that for Elijah, even though he didn't have boxing gloves on. It was a showdown, a battle in which God himself would fight for Elijah. But before I spoil this spectacular match for us today, let's see what the Bible says and describes on exactly what happens to this man as we open our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18, reading verses 1 and 6 as we begin this morning. It says this. It says, later on in the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, go and present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him that I will soon send rain. So Elijah went to appear before Ahab. Meanwhile, the famine had become very severe in Samaria. So Ahab summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of the palace. Obadiah was a devoted follower of the Lord. Once, when Jezebel tried to kill the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had 100 of them hidden in two caves. He put 50 prophets in each cave and supplied them with food and water. Ahab said to Obadiah, we must check out every spring and valley to see if we can find enough grass to save at least some of my horses and mules. So they divided the land between them, and Ahab went out by himself, and Obadiah went another direction. See, God is on the move in Elijah's life, and he speaks directly to Elijah. I love this. It says this, go and present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him I will soon send rain. It says that Elijah immediately stepped into what I call live action. He didn't hesitate, argue, complain to God. No, he was a man on the move, and he stepped into the moment. I tell you what, folks, that's just exciting when you think about how an inspiration happened at that very time. I love this part because Elijah isn't looking for someone else to do what God has spoken for him to do. In ancient days, God spoke only to certain people. Normally, they were leaders, priests, or prophets. That's why God's people listened carefully to what a lot of times these men and women had to say. But today this is different. We don't have to go to a priest or to a preacher to talk to God himself. No, God sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to speak to all those who call Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives. It says this in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. This means, folks, all of us can come to Christ, much different today as it was in the days of Elijah. We see here in the Bible that Elijah is traveling and so is King Ahab. It said that a famine was so severe, he summons Obadiah, one of the Lord's devoted followers. Now, I love that part. It says devoted. This means he had great care. He was obedient to what God said, and he moved on it. He was in charge of the palace. This man had great bravery, and he saves 100 of the Lord's prophets in two caves. Now remember, King Ahab's wife, Jezebel, man, she hated God's prophets, even to the point of having them killed. And that's why Obadiah had to take on these 100 prophets and hide them away, because she was out killing the Lord's prophets. See, King Ahab might have been spineless around his wife, but he still had some sense, I think, in my mind, that God was ultimately in charge. He takes Obadiah to survey the land for grass and water that might be around in the land of Israel. In truth, he's more concerned for his army than he is under the people who are under him. He puts horses and mules over the very people that he rules over. A tyrant of a leader, in my mind. We've seen those kind of leaders even today. Such names as Saddam Hussein, the president of Iraq at one time, Osama bin Laden, Muammar Gaddafi, Nicolas Maduro, Kim Jong-un, Omar Bashar. Ruthless tyrant leaders. I think King Ahab would sit well in this kind of modern-day tyrant leaders of dictators today. It gives us a glimpse of the contest that was about to take place. You know, folks, it's important for us to realize that even though Obadiah will read later of how he struggles with being called out, but the thing is that we can see in this man's life is the bravery that he leads out within in Obadiah. A man who has great bravery and is willing to go along with King Ahab, even though he's a tyrant, he still goes out and surveys the land. Which brings us to our next point is that fear can truly cripple leadership. And again, we're going to keep reading out of 1 Kings chapter 18, going through verses 7 through 15. And this is what it says. And Obadiah was walking along, and he suddenly saw Elijah coming toward him. Obadiah recognized him at once, and he bowed low to the ground before him. "Is it really you, my lord Elijah?" he asked. "Yes," Elijah replies. "Now go and tell your master Elijah is here." "Oh, sir," Obadiah protested, "what harm have I done that you are sending me to my death at the hands of Ahab? For I swear by the Lord your God that the king has searched every nation and kingdom on the earth from end to end to find you. And each time he was told Elijah isn't here, King Ahab forced the king of that nation to swear to tell the truth of his claim. And now you say, go and tell your master Elijah is here. But as soon as I leave, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you away to who knows where when Ahab comes and cannot find you. He will kill me. Yet I have been true servant of the Lord all of my life. Has no one told you, my lord, about the time when Jezebel was trying to kill the Lord's prophets? I hid 100 of them in two caves and supplied them with food and water. And now you say, go and tell your master Elijah is here. Sir, if I do that, Ahab will certainly kill me. But Elijah said, I swear by the Lord Almighty, in whose presence I stand, that I will myself meet King Ahab this very day. See, Obadiah and King Ahab went on two different directions to survey the grass and the water, just like what we read previously. But Obadiah, he meets Elijah as he's walking around by himself surveying the land. Now notice when these two men meet, it says that he bows low to Elijah, even calls him out Lord. See, he's given reverence to the prophet. He acknowledges him that he is truly a man of God, that he is a prophet sent by the Lord, and the Lord has given him instruction, words to speak to a nation. He's observing that, and he's giving that reverence. And today, folks, we don't give much reverence to God's anointed. I think at times we're more critical than hospitable, quick to bring up their faults or their decisions they make. And some might be thinking, well, Mike, that's pretty upfront with us today, aren't you? But yes, there's times to be truthful, and I've done the same, been critical as I should have been quiet. See, folks, you'll find that there's no pastor or preacher who is without fault. But I do think that we should show reverence and hospitality to these men and women. And that in itself could be a sermon, but that's not for us today. So I want you to think about that, search that in your own heart. How have you been treating the one that has been anointed, the one who's speaking, the one who's leading the church that you go to? As the two come together, Elijah's on a mission. Like the movie, I love this portion of this movie about Blues Brothers, where John Belushi says, "I'm on a mission from God." Now, no pun intended, but that's exactly how it was for Elijah. He didn't want to waste words. He goes, "Hey, Obadiah, go tell your master of yours, I'm coming." Elijah's back is back in the country, and he has something to say. And I think we can see something here about three things in my mind that we can see in fearful leadership. It's things that what I think freezes people in the midst of truly leading in truth and what God has called them to do. The first thing we see in fear in Obadiah is this. He says, "What have I done that you're sending me?" Quite the opposite of how Elijah got his command from God. Obadiah is thinking, "I'm going to die, and King Ahab, he hates on you." See, fear will stop you from when you get asked by God, you get sent by something that the Holy Spirit moves you in, and all of a sudden fear overwhelms you. You're afraid to step into the very moments that God's calling you in. And that's the challenge that Obadiah is dealing with. See, Elijah goes and calls him out and says, "Hey, I want you to go back to your master and let him know that I'm coming." Fear stopped Obadiah for a brief moment. But see, secondly, we see something else in Obadiah and his leadership. Obadiah tells Elijah, "King Ahab has went to even other nations in search of you. He even made other kings swear to him that he hasn't seen or heard from you." Can you see the fear that's gripping the other nations that are touching alongside of Israel? It says that he goes as far as he can in search of Elijah. This is how bad King Ahab hates Elijah for what is happening and the drought that's happening in Israel. Matter of fact, he brings such fear to the other nations, to their leaders, that he makes them swear that they have not seen Elijah. Ahab brought fear and trembling to other kings. They probably feared that Israel would take them over. And folks, a lot of times in leadership, we'll get conveyed by something of a person who will bring truth to us. And even to the point of sometimes even may not be truth, maybe manipulation and wanting us to coerce ourselves about the leadership or decision we made. And sometimes in those moments, we got to cast out all that fear and stand on the promises that we've been held on to what God has spoken to us. The third thing is this about this time is that Obadiah is fearful that the Spirit will take Elijah away, send him on another mission. Now, my mind is simply another excuse, but yeah, that possibly could happen. We see that multiple times how Elijah gets moved by the Spirit and he's obedient in those moments and he leaves. And this holds Obadiah in fear. See, fear in leadership and fear in truth, it'll kill a person. It'll kill you in leadership of how God is wanting you to move. And I just encourage you, maybe even as being deacons or an elder, or maybe you're on the church council or doing different things, and you're called into leadership, and fear moves you in moments. And even sometimes I see fear of money that freezes churches up, that they're unwilling to step into missional moments of places to extend the gospel of Christ because they're fearful that the money won't come in. And folks, that is a tough place to be. Yes, you've got to be, what I'd say, diligent about the monies that come in. But there's also, too, a portion of that where we're called out to step out on faith. And because of the fear of what you can't see, but you got to trust that God will supply. See, fearful leadership will cripple a country, will cripple a state, cripple a community, and will cripple a home. As Christians today, we walk in fear, in my mind, in politics, faith, and to be in a voice that's being called to hear. As my mom would always remind me of this, if you don't stand for something, you won't stand at all. See, fearful leadership was holding revival back for Israel. Elijah was a prophet with fire. Two times God sent fire down from the heavens, and we'll see that. See, Elijah was a man, a prophet that was truly on a mission from God as he needed Obadiah to simply man up. And finally, Elijah has to swear that he won't leave. See, folks, when you're called to go do different things, called to step out in sometimes different moments, this past week I had an opportunity to go and share with the Eddyville Rocket football team. And they were there. They've been struggling in their times in their football of not winning. And I had an opportunity, and I had a call to go down and speak to those young men on their togetherness night. And a lot of times people will say, "Well, Mike, I can't do that. I'm fearful of stepping into moments, especially public speaking." I got to be honest with you, folks. Other than one of the ladies who asked me to come to speak to the young men and her son, I didn't know anybody in the room. But I tell you what, I was called to a moment. I was called to stand into a mission, what I believe that the Holy Spirit opened in a time of leadership, to share with those young men about what it meant greater than the game of football, about what it truly means to be men of God. And we could be fearful of those times, but I think more than ever, we need men and women today to stand in leadership, stand in moments when God calls us out to go in what I would say in tough places, places that are not necessarily safe, places that we don't know people. But when God calls us and the Holy Spirit moves us, folks, I encourage you, move in the moment. That's what God is calling us to do, and we see that in the followership, in the leadership of Elijah, a man who's on a mission from God, and we'll see the fire literally come down from the heavens. But point number three is this, is sometimes you have to go toe-to-toe. And let's look at verses 16 through 19 in this chapter, just some good stuff. It says this, starting with verse 16. It says, "So Obadiah went to tell Ahab that Elijah had come, and Ahab went out to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, 'So it is really you, you troublemaker of Israel.'" I like this next portion. It says this in verse 18. "I have made no trouble for Israel," Elijah replies. "You and your family are the troublemakers, for you refuse to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshipped the images of Baal instead. Now, summon all of Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who are supported by your wife, Jezebel." Man, I tell you what, this is a toe-to-toe conflict, a face-to-face confrontation between these two men. Obadiah finally relents, and he goes to confront King Ahab. He tells them that Elijah, yes, he wants to meet you. Matter of fact, he's coming over the next hill. Be ready. He has something to say. The fear finally fell from Obadiah, and he meets this man, the man that he fears most. You ever had that in your own life, meeting someone you fear or having that, what I call those awkward moments? I can remember when I worked at Pellicorp for 2.5 years. This was back in my 20s. Construction in the 80s was an absolute disaster. There was no houses being built. It was tough times in the construction world. And I was a young man with two young kids, married, no health insurance or any benefits, barely making it. I felt construction. And I left it and went into the factory work and went in to work for Pellicorp. A good move for a short season while I was working there. I had favor with the Lord and the company, and I quickly moved into a management position. When I reached my second year, folks, I got to be honest with you, I got the itch. Construction was coming back and around, and I missed working outside and working with my hands. And finally, in 2.5 years, I made a decision to go back. My superintendent of the place that I worked at Pellicorp, to say the least, was angry and was absolutely not happy with the decision that I was making. Matter of fact, HR, Human Resources, was not happy with me as well. I got called up into the HR department, up to the office. I talked to the vice president of Human Resources. It was a toe-to-toe meeting. To be honest with you, I was fearful even to go in, but I went into that meeting and got called into the office. And I tell you what, did I ever get a chewing? And it just came and it just came. Matter of fact, I was told I would not make it back on my own. And matter of fact, I would fail. Finally, I took that day all I could take, and I stood up and I squared off with that man in HR, that person who told me that I would not be a good general contractor, that I would not be successful. I looked him straight in the eye and I said this: I will become a general contractor. I will be successful because God has a plan on my life. And I wasn't disrespectful at the time to the man, but I confronted him and I let my fear leave and I stepped into my destiny. And as Paul Harvey would say, now the rest of the story. But see, God was using Obadiah to confront King Ahab, and the old king turned his eyes to Elijah. He doesn't mix words with him whatsoever. He calls Elijah a troublemaker. You scoundrel, how do you dare stop the rain? Who do you think you are? Better words of saying, he was calling Elijah a snake, a viper, a slithering person who was on the ground. But I like Elijah here. He confronts Ahab. Me, a troublemaker? Hey, this is on you, your family, and especially on your wife. You refuse to obey God. You forgot one of the Ten Commands from God himself in Exodus 23. You shall have no other gods before me. These are throw-down words in my mind. Elijah isn't taking any of these false remarks from King Ahab. Matter of fact, Elijah hits him with the false gods of Baal and Asherah. You know these ones I'm talking about, Elijah says. The ones your wife brought, you know Jezebel. In my mind, I think Elijah hit a nerve with Ahab. See, Elijah was confronting Ahab's sin, idol worship. He wasn't afraid to name it, and we don't like it when people come and confront us with our sins as well. I can remember a good friend of mine that brought to my attention an idol in my own life. It was my motorcycle. It was my Harley. I wore the clothes. I had the shoes. I had the hats. I had the coats. You name it, I wore it. I was trying to get my identity from it in my at the time, and I didn't realize, and it was becoming an idol in my life. After this man told me, to be honest, folks, I wept before the Lord. I asked his forgiveness for allowing me to allowing it to rule over my life. Now, folks, to be honest, I still have the motorcycle. I still have the clothes, but they don't rule over me. I like to ride, but they aren't part of my identity. And I thank my friend for bringing it to me. The key was he didn't do it out of anger, out of frustration, but he did it out of love and concern in my life. He didn't beat me up with it. See, we sure don't see that in King Ahab. He's too proud and power is on his mind. Elijah isn't afraid, so he summons the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah. He says, join me on Mount Carmel. Now, this is 850 men as to one man of God. The stakes are high and the odds seemingly do not seem in Elijah's favor. See, Does that describe to you as to a point of Christianity today? Seemingly, our nation continues to fall away from God, more independent, more complacent, love on the things, even when it's sin, and try to say it's okay. We fall into a place that you can't tell the difference if someone is a Christian and who isn't. Our lives don't share a difference. We've become judgmental, hypocritical, and unloving people. Hard words this morning, aren't they? But in my mind, they're truth. And folks, I'm saying it right back at myself. So please don't take this condemnation. It's coming against you, but it's coming against my own heart as well. What we need today in our nation is a Mount Carmel. We get before God and call down the fire into our hearts and our souls. Israel became lukewarm. We'll talk about that more next week. As the song goes from the Jesus culture, Set a fire, and I love just a few of the lyrics. It says this: set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down on my soul. Maybe that's you today. You're tired of serving idols, living a lukewarm Christianity, and you're saying, I want more. Let's have a word of prayer today. Jesus, again, we just want to thank you for this day, an opportunity to look back in time, to look back at the time of your prophet Elijah, where you sent down the fire. We're going to read that next week, Lord. We're just thankful that you still set down fires. Lord, we pray today for a revival for right where we are in Southeast Iowa, or maybe that people are traveling on their way to go back to the place of where they live and they're headed for a destination. Lord, put a fire back in our souls today. Help us to be on fire for you, that we're not lukewarm Christianity, but we're on fire Christianity. Not people who are crazy, but people who love Jesus, people who love you, Lord, that we say that we are the sons and the daughters of the living King. Lord Jesus, we thank you today. Set our soul on fire. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, I tell you what, talk about a contest. This is part one. Part two is next week. You're not going to want to miss next week as we look at when Elijah calls down the fire from the heavens as we continue in 1 Kings chapter 18. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.